The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah, upon our Lord God, omnipotence reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you. You are a winner, you always reign. And this evening we receive understanding and clarity that comes from you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. Glory to Jesus. Okay, very quickly, we'll continue with our series that we've been on since this month. The Raging Warfare. Hallelujah. Are you expectant? The Raging Warfare. And this is built on the fact that there is a battle going on in your mind. A battle we all have to win. We all have to win. The reason we have to win the battle is because, like I explained to you, the real warfare happens in the mind of man. Like I always say, whether you're a believer or not, you need this teaching. Even if you're not a believer. Because before anything would happen in your life, that thing must first of all take hold of your mind. I will say a couple of scriptures to drive this home. And before something takes hold of your mind, of your life rather, that thing must take hold. One scripture that we saw last week, you see, that blessed us in a very interesting way, was, I think it's Matthew 15 and verse 19. We looked at it last week, and it was a very huge blessing. Matthew 15 and verse 19. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Verse 20, when I had to say, these are the things which defile a man. So the things which defile a man proceed from where? From the heart. And so if the heart of man has been captured, there are things that will not go on in his life. Are you following me? The state of the heart of a man will determine how much things will go wrong or go right in his life. The way the book of Proverbs puts it, he says, guard your heart, he says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4, verse 23. He says, guard your heart with all diligence. He says, for out of it are the issues of life. And the way NLT will put it, he says, for it determines the course of your life. And so the state of your heart will determine the direction your life is going to take. Are you still here? And so we establish the need to control our hearts. And so what I've been doing over time has been showing you, for instance, one of the questions I've been asking in this series is, who is thinking in your head? Who is doing your thinking for you? I was trying to show you that 90% of what people think about are not really their thoughts. Because things, Satan, your environment, they throw thoughts into your heart. And they throw those thoughts and you accept them and begin to think them as though they were your thoughts. But in reality, you realize those thoughts are not yours. We saw on the second day, for instance, that fear is not of God. Remember that? He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so whenever you feel fear, God did not give it to you. And anything God did not give me, I don't have it. Ah, you didn't hear that. Anything God did not give me, I don't have it. So it doesn't matter whether I feel it or not. If the Bible says God did not give me, I don't have it. God did not give me fear. Say, I'm not fearful. Oh, come on, talk back to me. Say, I'm not fearful. So God did not give you fear. God did not give you worry, for instance. And so worry is not from God. And if God didn't give it to you, then it's not yours. God did not give you depression. Depression is not of God. But these are thoughts. These are things that go on in your mind. Hallelujah. And whether you are going to win or not. So one of the things we answered on that day was, how am I going to know which thought is of God and which is not? And the Bible is so clear about it in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It says the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts of man. It's a discerner. It cuts through. NLT will make it very, very clear. He said the word of God, put up NLT. He said it cuts across the soul and the spirit, between joints and marrow. He said it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And so you can begin to tell where your thoughts are coming from by exposing your thoughts to the word of God. And so, for instance, the word of God already showed, for instance, that fear is not of God. So whenever you sense fear in your heart, it can never be God. That means it's not yours. But then these thoughts come. I said, no matter how understandable or how justifiable the fears are, it's not of God. No matter how justifiable the worries are, it's not of God. Hallelujah. So these things come and they want to dominate you. Last week we were looking at, for instance, because I made a statement, you can also be a bird. Remember that? From flying over your head. Amen. But you can stop the bird from perching and building nests on your head. And I was looking at, how do I expel these evil thoughts from my mind? How do I get what I want to stay? And I showed you one way last week. That was what? Speaking. It is by one way to keep things in your heart or to expel them is by what you say. And so if you keep saying the wrong things, that's why I say you can feel fear. But if you don't want that fear to stay, you must never speak fear. Because speaking is one of the ways we imprint our thoughts in our hearts. The reason is simple. Because even your ear, the gates to your mind are your five senses. So even when you are speaking, you are involving your five senses. When you are speaking, you are hearing what you are saying. Are you still here? When you are speaking, you are hearing what you are saying. And so if you can learn to control what you say, you are controlling what will stay in your heart. You cannot control everything that gets into your heart. That's the truth. Because a lot of things happen that are beyond your control. You get the point? For instance, our environment, our experiences, for instance, send thoughts to our hearts. There are many things we believe that came from just our experiences. These things happen to us. You know, you can be passed along the road and you see a car accident. It's already sending thoughts of fear into your heart. Fear to hit the road. Are you getting me? You can be passing there and you see two people misbehaving. The guy and the girl is already sending corrupt thoughts into your heart. Now, you may not be able to control everything that you see. Of course, you should be able to control 50%. You get the point? That's where you begin to check what kind of books do you read. What do you listen to? Where do you go to? You should be able to control at least 50%. But it's not about that, it means that you cannot control everything. But you can control what to stay. Are you getting me? And so, one of those who control what to say while looking at last week was your words. What are you saying? So when you feel fear, you don't say fear. Why? God has not given me fear. And if God didn't give it to me, I don't have it. So Satan will send thoughts at you, whether you accept them or not is your making. One of the things I said last week that I don't want you to forget is that it's your words that will give Satan what to act on. Remember that? And so if you feel it in your heart, Satan doesn't know your thoughts. But he can hear what you say. Remember I explained this last week, right? Satan does not know your thoughts. But Satan can hear what you say. He said, my life is just a mess. He's acting on it. What you don't realize is that those thoughts that Satan sent to your heart are not the things he has done. They are the things he's seeking permission to do. I said this last week. When Satan sends fear of death into your heart, he has not killed anybody. He's seeking permission to kill someone. And so you now accept it or reject it. Are you following me at all? When you now begin to say, man, my life is just, I'm just so scared. What if somebody dies? What if I die? You are accepting what Satan is sending to your heart. I'm afraid someone dies. One of the ways I was talking last week was dreams. He sends dreams to your heart or to when you're sleeping. You see a dream where everything went wrong around you. He has not done those things. He is actually seeking permission to do them. Are you getting the point? And then you now say, man, what a life. Your words give Satan what to act on. It gives Satan what to act on. Now your words will give life to your thoughts. Remember I said that too? Will give life to your thoughts. So I'm just trying to make a recap of last week. And so, you repel those thoughts by your words. And then you say what you must. Are you following me? You repel those thoughts by your words. Then you focus on what you must say. So the question is, what are you saying? Hallelujah. The same way your words will give, I was saying this last week on Sunday. The same way your words can give angels what to act on. Your words give demons too what to act on. And no angels are trained to act on the word of God, you know, right? So demons are trained to act on anything that is not God's word. So you speak fear, he'll act on it. You speak worry, they'll act on it. You speak defeat, they'll act on it. And so it is permitted that those thoughts can fly through your heart. But it is not permitted that you should say them. Don't give voice to what Satan is doing. And I was saying this last week. I told you that my spiritual father taught me something. When you see a negative dream, remember I said this last week, and you come and tell him, one of the things he will never do is to allow you to share the dream. He will tell you, just tell me the dream is bad. You don't have to go into all details. So they now shot me and I now died. You don't have to. When you are saying those things, you are giving voice to those words. They're giving them life. Are you getting the point? And he said, if you insist on talking about it, he will tell you to write it. Because once you keep talking, and in fact, the man now started me, and I was now, you know, you are speaking in the first person pronoun. I don't get the point. And you are giving those things what life. And many of us go up and down, telling a negative dream, telling a negative, and before you know, you are in, what you don't realize is that the more you are saying that thing, you are hearing it. Your heart is believing it, gradually. And so, you guard. So I closed last week by telling you that you should use your tongue to feed your thoughts. Remember I said that? Use your tongue to feed your talk. I was showing you last week why you must talk to your soul. The psalmist will say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I showed you how the whole of Psalm 103 was about a man talking to himself, talking to his heart. So, and I close by saying, it's either you are talking to yourself or something is talking to you. It's either you are speaking to your heart. It's either you are filling your heart with the right words or something is doing it for you. Something is entering your heart. That time. And so, we closed that last week. I'm going to end this teaching today by just trying to touch everything we've done so far and bring some answers. Now, I'm saying you can determine what stays in your heart. You may not control fully what goes in, but you can determine what remains. And I'm going to show you like three keys today. Amen? Extra keys. How you can control what will stay in your heart. Because you might not control everything that will fly in. But you can determine what will remain. Are you still here? You can determine what will remain. One of those ways I'll talk about is your imagination. I'm starting with this. Your imagination. Your imagination. You know, it is by imagining things that things remain in your heart. I'll give an example. Do you realize that when the thought of an accident comes, it's just a thought. It flashes in. If it's going to stay, you have to keep it. How do you keep it? Imagination. I don't get the point. Are you getting what I'm talking about at all? In fact, when the Bible says, the man who sat, I'll come to that. He said, the man who sat, he stayed on God. What in the Hebrew, that word came as, the way that, that's Isaiah 26 verse 3. He said, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on God. We check the Hebrew of that. That word heart talks about imagination. Whose imagination is stayed on God. And so what do you do with your imagination? I used to tell you guys, one of the most powerful tools God gave us is the power of our imagination. Our ability to imagine things. It is creative, but you don't know. Before an artist to draw something, he will first of all form that drawing in his imagination. I don't get the point. If an architect makes a building, he has seen the building in his imagination. And so, when those thoughts of defeat come, or thoughts of life, or success, whichever, if you want it to stay, keep it by imagining it. Go over it. go over it. Philippians 4 verse 8. He said, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. He said, think on these things. How do you do that? Imagine them. And man, I used to tell you guys. Sometimes stay back in your room and imagine things. Imagine things. You will grow later in your Christian walk to find out that some of the things you call imaginations are visions. Have you ever finished imagining? Let me ask. Have you ever finished imagining something and later in life you saw that thing you imagined happen? I mean, the same scenes playing out. Most of the things you call imaginations are visions. And that's why you don't play with that power of imagination. You don't. Are you what I'm talking about? See, sit down and begin to imagine the kind of life that you seek to have. The kind of thing. You see, when Satan sent us that, you don't keep it. In Genesis 6 verse 5, one of the reasons that one of the things that happened in the days of Noah, Bible said that they thought the imagination of man sat was evil. They set their hearts to imagine. He said, God saw that the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So they set their hearts to imagine vain things. And they are going to produce vain things. And so you control your heart, or what states your mind by what you imagine. I imagine scriptures. I act scriptures. I act crusades. Hallelujah. I imagine crusades in my heart. I imagine success. I keep what I want to stay. What is depression? Simple. Depression is that a bad thought, a negative thought, a depressing thought has entered your heart and you kept this there and imagine it over like one hour. That's depression. The opposite of that would be that thought comes and you refuse to imagine it. And like I was saying, like this, I refuse to speak it. Remember? You refuse to talk about it and you refuse to imagine it. And how do you refuse to imagine something? Very simple. Say the opposite of that thing and imagine the opposite. You cannot say, I will not imagine anything. Your mind is never clear at any time. Hope you know. Something is occupying your mind per time. So when such thoughts come, consciously channel that imagination the wrong way. Something I've done over time. Something we do every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. By the power of imagination, you are planting things in your heart. One of the things I said in my notes, I said, things stay in your heart. Okay, I'll say that, talk about that. By repetition. So you just keep them there. You are just asking. How many of you know that before someone is found, some people that end up making mistakes have acted that mistake in their mind? You know, right? They've acted it in their mind. In their mind. That's what I was talking about. You know, some of the things, mistakes people make. Success they record is what they've imagined. It's playing. You know, why I like to talk about imagination is that this one, you are in charge of it. But when you grow better in your walk with God, you will find out that most of those things you're saying, I was just imagining. Some of them are visions of what will come. If you've stayed for long, you would have seen some of them happen. I didn't get the point. Some. Not as I was just planning for a crusade and then I just stay back. Some of the first service, I'm going over the service in my head. I see things. I imagine them. Oh, powerful service we're going to have today. I will not let any. And before you know, you know, a thought will fly. And the midst of the message, Jen now went off. You now repel that one. I don't even get the point. I keep the other one there. So it's you create these things here. It's a powerful tool. And so you determine what stays back in your heart by the power of imaginations. Same means I imagine the right things. So you train your mind to imagine what it must. What it must. And so imagination is a powerful way you keep stuff in your heart. A powerful way. Another tool I'm going to give you, for instance. So the moment I said, control your imagination. Take hold of your imagination. Then number two, control, I teach this all the time, control your memory. Imagination is that you are imagining what has not happened. Memory is a remembrance of what has happened, right? So control what you remember. You know, in 2 Peter, for instance, chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Peter was writing, he said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Now, I normally pick this up to show you that there are things that the believer should always be in remembrance of. If you don't see, let me tell you this. I keep saying this whenever I get to this point. The reason somebody feels my life is just a mess is because he has not taken hold of his memory. He has allowed the devil to run his memory. So he remembers every negative thing that has happened in his life. And will not remember one good thing throughout the year. So a bad thing happens in December. It wouldn't happen. I'm giving an example. And then you term the year a bad year. What happened? You have a very short memory. You are not taking hold of it. So you are remembering what you should not. Peter said, "I always put you in remembrance." Verse 13. He said, before you go there, he said, go back. He said, "Of these things, though you know them and be established in present truth," even though you know them, "I always want to remind you of them." And so a believer can begin to determine what to stay back in his heart or his mind by what he makes a remembrance of. You get the point? And so when you stay back in your room, determine not to remember when those bad memories fly back. Focus your memory on the right thing. If you gain control over your memory, you are gaining control over your mind. Look at verse 13. Next verse. He said, "Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," that's in this body, "to steer you up by putting you in remembrance." Next verse 14. "Put you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me." Now verse 15. "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my disease, to have these things always." So what you keep? So the question is, what are you remembering? When you think back in the, you know, whenever I teach you on Thanksgiving, I mentioned this, you remember? When you think about the last 5 years, what are the specific events that you go over in your head? So remembrance. In 2 Peter 3 verse 1, Peter would say the same thing. 2 Peter 3 verse 1. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1. He said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I steer up your pure minds by way of." So one of the ways to steer people's mind is remembrance. And your mind too. So there are things that must remain in your memory. There are things you must consciously be remembering. Should I give you some examples? Isaiah 51 verse 1. There are things you must always remember. And there are things you will consciously decide to forget. He says, "How do I forget it?" I'll take you back to what I said last week. Anything you keep talking about, you can never forget. You know what I said? Anything you keep talking about, you can never forget. I was saying last week, someone broke your heart, you want to move on, stop talking about it. You step back in your room and remembering all the times you had together. What was that? And that's why you feel you cannot move on. You say, I'm about to die. Listen. You met this guy 2 years ago. And he left you about to die. You've forgotten that you've been living your life before you met him. You met him when you were 18. Now you are 20. He left you. From when you are 1 to when you are 18. Was he there? Say, "Nasa, you will not understand." I do. You just want to remember the wrong things. Look at this. He said, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock where you are hewn, and the hole of the pit where you are digged." Not like NLT, another tradition of this. Say, look unto the, you know, the way I put it in my notes, I said, always remember, the way I put it in my notes here, remember your pit. Remember where you are coming from. He said, consider the rock from which you are cut, the quarry from which you are mined. The reason, for instance, I mentioned this point because there is some of us, our mind is filled with doubt. I was saying it last week, is that we forget where we are coming from. You are bothered now that you don't have 100,000 to carry out a project. But at least you have 80. And you forget that there was a time you didn't even have 10. I got what I'm talking about. There are things you should not allow to escape your memory. If they do, Satan will keep you down for long. For long. Keep you down for long. Say, as a day, life is just so messed up. Why? Because of whatever. Do you know where you are coming from? Do you remember? You can't lay hands on 100,000 naira now. Your life is about to end. But by this time last year, you are looking for 5,000 naira. I don't get the point. But then God has moved you. You can now touch 100. And now because there's no 200,000, I feel like this life, this life is a pot of beans. Stop that. Remember that. Remember where you're coming from. Remember. Not those some people saying, I remember where you brought me from. You should remember such things. And if you can keep such things in your memory, for instance, this particular issue of keeping where you come from in your head, it keeps you always hopeful and full of faith. I didn't get a point. Full of faith. That the God that did that one will do this one. He will do this one. He will do this one. Even when it comes, you know, control your memory. One of these, for instance, you keep in memory, for instance, is, I keep saying, your place in Christ. Always remember it. Do you know what the Bible said in 2 Peter 1 verse 9? Okay, from verse 5. Let's start from verse 5. Because you have a full grasp, understanding of everything. From verse 5. He said, in view of all this, make every effort, look at the screen, to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, okay? And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. Verse 7 will say, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Slow down in verse 8. He says, the more you grow like this, you will be more productive and useful. So, what he was talking about here was spiritual growth, right? Good. Verse 9. He now said, verse 9, that's the next verse. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind. What does he mean by this? Forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So if you forget your place in Christ, you will not grow spiritually. Hallelujah. So when you step back on your bed, what are you remembering? What are you remembering? You saw that scripture last week. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are things you don't forget. And same way, there are things you don't remember. When you make a mistake, don't stay back on your bed thinking about how you made the mistake, how much of a fool you are. You know that's what in guilt does. You know your life will travel in the direction of your mind. You know one thing? When you are feeling guilty, you are remembering the mistakes you made, right? What are you doing? You are exposing your heart more to it. Do you get what I said now? When you make a mistake and you lie down on your bed, forget whatever you did and forget not its benefits. What are the benefits? Who forgives all your sins? Why you stay too long when you make a mistake? You don't stand up and move on. It's because you stay back on your bed, you are remembering the mistake. The mistake. How messed you are. The mistake. You are remembering it. You're just playing it on your head. What you don't realize is that the more you keep remembering that thing. You know that sometimes I used to tell you guys about a cycle of defeat. Remember that? A cycle of defeat is that cycle. It never ends. You make a mistake. You cry and feel guilt. You promise yourself you'll never do it again. You stay away from it for like 1 week. You go back to it. It's a cycle. Because once you make that mistake and you stay and start feeling guilty, one day, 2 days, what you're doing? You are thinking about the mistake. You think you are repenting. You are thinking about it. I don't get the point. You are thinking about the mistake. And as a man, think it is that. You are thinking it's been planted. You will do it again. You will. He says, forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all your iniquities? So there are things you don't forget. And so you control your memory. You remember some things. I've talked about it initially. You remember the former things that God has done for you. What I call the former goodness of God. Hallelujah. Remember them. It's the 106 verse 7. You know God has been good to us, right? Remember them. Control your memory. So 106 verse 7. He said, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked thee at the Red Sea. So what happened to Israel? They got to the Red Sea. You see how Satan is? And began to complain. They forgot the goodness of God in Egypt. How many days? Of course, our memories are very short. Just a few days of leaving Egypt, getting to Red Sea, they've forgotten everything. Say, what kind of life is this one? Look at verse 13. Verse 13. I'm trying to show you that the major problem Israel had was that they forgot God's goodness. He said, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Forgetfulness. You go all the way because of our times, verse 21. They soon forgot his works. They soon forgot the God their Savior. But the Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. This is a story of their journey through the wilderness. At every point, they will forget what God has done. God will provide manna. There's a new problem that murmuring. The problem is they've forgotten manna. I normally teach you this thing. Keep monuments of God's goodness in your life. Have you heard me say it before? Monuments of God's goodness. I don't know how you can do it. But things that you can always look at and remember, God did it. If you miss writing that person into your room, on 20th of this, the Lord provided, hallelujah. So that the next time when your heart is now playing on you, that's what God did for Israel. I'm just telling you, I mean, remember when I taught on doctrine of remembrance? You always tell them, at every time they pass through the Red Sea, I mean Jordan, for instance, he will say, raise 12 stones. You know it's true. He says, so that later when your children will ask you, what are these? You tell them, the Lord delivered us. So he always made them raise things, and then he also made them record those things. You know, that's why I have a problem with people keeping a diary. Is it a diary now or a journal? A journal, right? A diary is what you're going to do, right? Which one? Journal is getting. Huh? Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Now, the problem with keeping such things is, have you observed that what you call your diary or your journal is always the bad things that happen to you? What of keeping a diary of God's goodness? Buy a diary. Call it diary of God's goodness. Every day you record one good thing that happened to you that day. If you calculate, God has been good. That's the truth. But then what you do is you just keep writing. At the end of the day, there's not intentionally decide that even if a bad thing happens to that, I'm not writing this in my diary. It's not entire. Why? It did not happen to me. I am not my experience. Hallelujah. I get the point. Even if today I was going out and I hit my leg on a stone, I will not write it today. Say, diary, today was powerful. I saw God's supernatural abundance. Today, do you know, can you believe I left this house with 10 naira and I came back with? Tell your diary, because it is easy to, the human mind is trained to forget those things. I didn't get a point. The human mind is trained to easily forget those things. And so, before you know, your mind is full of negativities because your memory is full of negativities. So control your memory. Psalm 143 verse 5. Remember the things that the Lord has done. And so you sing and say, oh Lord, you've been so good. Hallelujah. You remember them. But sometimes when I tell you to bless God for what he has done, I normally advise you, don't just say, Father, thank you for everything. No. When you are about to ask for your needs, do you say, Father, do everything for me? Eh? You call them now, Father, do this. So that's how you thank God too. Thank you, Father, for that provision. You are not just thanking God. You are remembering yourself. You are reminding yourself, rather. And so, determine what stays in your mind by what you remember. How come you are leaving the house, somebody just gave you 15 naira. I'm using small things, in quotes. And then, that same day you are leaving the house, you saw an accident along the road. You come back, everything playing in your head is that accident scene. I don't get the point. Satan is trying to use your memory to control how your life is going to run. He said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. So remember the days. Hallelujah. He says, sir, it's for people that God has done something. My life has been... That is nonsense. That is total bullshit. Let me tell you the truth. If you know what people are passing through, you know your life is a miracle. This, your life like this, is a miracle. Satan always keeps you aware of the things you don't have, that you forget the things you have. You get what I said now? He always keeps you aware of the things that have not happened, and you forget the things that have happened. And so, you keep in memory God's deliverance. You keep in memory God's healing. You keep in memory God's provision, his former goodness. Let me say one more thing you keep in your memory. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul told them to remember him. I like that one. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. He said, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in office. I have to pick this. One of the things that we must always remember, and this is a very important thing, you must remember the people that did you good in life. The people that God used to bless your life. That's one easy thing to forget. And one easy thing to remember are the people that hurt you. Can't you see the game? You can easily remember the people that hurt you. Sometimes their names. That's what happens when a young girl is raped. Sometimes she's raped in the midnight. Without light. In her room, what will be happening? She'll be seeing pictures of that man that raped her. You get the point? A man she didn't see very well. I get what I'm saying. The man will be trying to create that image. Tomorrow she gets married and wants to have sex with her husband. That picture, pew, will fly in her mind. She's seeing a person. She has forgotten everybody that ever did anything good for her. Hallelujah. He said, I praise you, brethren. You remember me in all things. I'm going to say this to ladies. You've met more than 5 million men on earth. I hope you know. You don't know? I'm not saying you've spoken with. You've met. And so the fact that 10 of them hurt you does not make all men scum. That's true. The difference is what you're remembering. Praise God. If all men has come, me in God. So you find out that you are seeing what you are remembering what you want to remember. If you can channel your memory and say, this is what I want to be thinking about. Think about the good men in my life. Hallelujah. Think about the men that did things for you without asking for anything in return. Think about your pastor that teaches you. Think about your teachers in secondary school that in one word or other helped you. Have you forgotten that guy or that teacher in secondary school who somehow carried your matter on his head? But not, there are people like that in your life. But then suddenly, it has passed the secondary school teacher. But that one guy that broke your heart in JS 2. That time, didn't you have hearts? No, you didn't have hearts that time, and they broke it. And yes, you're remembering the person. Hallelujah. And so, you control your mind. You control your mind by... Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Paul will talk along this line too. 1 Thessalonians 2, and verse 9. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. So, Paul was teaching them something. I began to call their attention to remember what happened when we came to your place, our labor. You know, one major sign of honor is that honor never forgets. This honor always forgets. The reason a man can stand up and attack a pastor that has been there for him is that he has forgotten everything. That's because of John the Baptist. This same Jesus that he told his people, he said, this guy, he is the Lamb of God. John was the first person to call Jesus the Lamb of God in his lifetime. He said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When they came to meet him and like, this guy is packing more disciples than you. He said, he must increase I must decrease. Such honor. Such honor. When challenges came, he forgot all those things and said, are you the Messiah? Or should we expect another one? What happened? He has forgotten. What did Jesus do? Jesus reminded him. He said, go back and tell him, the blind see, the lame walk. I didn't get the point. This honor always forgets. Is this someone talking? Maybe the pastor or the father or someone he respects has hurt him. He's not talking. See, nonsense. I don't even know why I met you. You've forgotten why you met him. So soon. Sometimes when people write today, I feel like going back to what they wrote 3 years ago. This honor always forgets. Honor never forgets. Honor remembers. Honor will remember everything. So he said, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring day and night, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, do you remember? So you should remember some things. People that helped you. Spiritual matters now. Every other aspect of life. Keep in memory those men. How many of you have fathers that will keep telling you that all the people I helped, all of them, none of them have come to remember me? Do you have such fathers? And it's a normal trend in this world. And that's not the character of sense. Don't be like that. Someone helps you, trains you in school, is there for you, and then you grow up. You know why? It's not really that they've forgotten. I get the point. They can't remember that other person exists again. But they remember all the evil men in their generation. Hallelujah. So you now see how their life, you see that life of dishonor flows from forgetfulness. It's still the mind. Okay, then I'll say it to us. I'm saying, give you three keys and we'll close today. Amen. It's been very long on this series. The third thing I'm going to talk about today, if you're going to be a man that will take hold of your mind, I said, number one, control your imagination, right? Number two, what? Your memory. Number three, meditate on the right things. It still brings both of them together. Meditate on the right thing. Philippians 4 verse 8 said, whatsoever things are true. See, things will stay back in your mind by repetition. And it's by meditating on it, on them. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. So there are things you intentionally stay and meditate. I like this way Psalm 119 will put it. Psalm 119 verse 148. David will tell you one of the very best times to meditate. One of the very best times to meditate. He says, 148 rather, not 48. 119 verse 148. He said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy words. He's saying, in the night, he stays awake. You get the point? So I normally tell people, that time that sleep left your eye, what were you doing? Because whenever you say sleep left my eye, you are meditating on something. And so by constant meditation, you are planting things in your heart. And so imagine someone that meditates on evil all day. Evil will come to him. Very simple. He said, life is very predictable. Life is very predictable. When you give your heart to meditate on rubbish, rubbish will come to you. You are attracting it. Because you know the power of meditation. When you meditate and meditate, before you know, you start speaking it. Because meditation makes you believe those things. And before you know, they will start coming out from your mouth. Life is predictable. Whatever you think on so much. So you stay up meditating. Psalm 1 verse 1. He said, blessed is the man who will not sit in the city. No, my story for the Holy Scripture to tell you that you can actually sin with your buttocks. He said, the man that will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the city. So where you stand, or where you walk, or where you sin, or where you sit, can change a lot of things. But then he didn't stop there. In verse 2, he now said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. How will he not walk in the way of sinners and all that? In his law will he meditate day and night. You cannot fill your mind with rubbish by meditation and expect your life to produce results. It can't. It's like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you throw in will come out. And so Satan can throw thoughts at you. You let them stay by meditating over them. Going over them. I don't know if you've ever found yourself meditating on the wrong things and you found out after like 2 hours. Has that happened to you? After like 2 hours, you just shock. You notice you've been thinking your life. Before you know, your pillow is soaked with tears. What are you expecting to see the next day? So you meditate on everything I mentioned about memory and all that. Meditate on them. Meditate on God's goodness. Meditate on the right things. I told you fear is not of God, for instance, right? So when thoughts of fear come, you don't meditate on them. You repel them by your words. When you are done speaking, just lie down and begin to meditate on good things. Faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes I normally ask people, say, what if this does not work? I normally ask them, what if it works? Have you heard me say that? What if it works? So what if you now go and I fail this exam? What if you go and pass it? He said, what if, right? The chances are there. You seize whatever you want by meditation. Things stay back in your heart by repetition. Once you repeatedly plant those things there, they will last. They will stay. They will stay. In Psalm 119 verse 15. Psalm 119 verse 15. Shamanani Ados. He said, I will meditate in thy precepts and I will have respect unto your ways. So the law of the Lord, the word of God, you stay up meditating on them. I just stay up. Whether it's God's goodness or not. So that's one way to sleep. You want to sleep, and you know, there is that short time before you sleep, right? For most of us, it's long. For others, it's very short. There are some, once they close their eyes. How many feel like that? Once they close, they just close that. Bam, they've gone. 2 seconds. Something like that. It's not bad. I'm just telling you a story. But some others, they close their eyes, they stay for like 10 minutes. Now, whatever be the case, that short or long time before you sleep, let the scripture be in your mind. Think of what I'm teaching today. Think of those things. Let it be on your mind. It can even influence your dream world. Can't you see that when you play a message and you sleep off, you see somebody preaching that message in your dream? That tells you can actually control your dream world by your mind. I didn't get the point. Somebody came to me and said, I always see bad dreams. I said, stop seeing it. He said, how is it? How can I? I said, I can't stop. I didn't get the point. You can't. That's the way when you finish watching fish, and sleep. Or you watch witchcraft movie and sleep. Or vampire. Is that a vampire movie? Horror. And some of you like it. This is the second time I mentioned it in this series. I don't know why. I don't know why you will put something that makes you scared. I am watching it and getting scared. I am watching it. It's okay. The people who are people that go to a cinema to pay. To get scared. You are paying, you just pay. You pay for a horror movie. You go with someone. And now watch, and now hug the person. You pay. Leave the place now. It's my fault. Well, that's by the way. But then, do you realize what you are done with that movie? Sometimes you can watch vampire movies for so long. Or horror movies. And everything in your environment looks like horror to you. Like when I was a child, did it ever happen to you that you sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night when you were a child and you saw your white clothes hanging? And you thought it was somebody. Do you know the problem? It still happens to some people even till now. And you know, you've meditated so much on the wrong things. So you can control your dream world. That's what I'm trying to show you. You see, he said, I meditate on your precepts. That short time before you sleep, you spend it on God's word. Spend it on possibilities. Spend it building your company in your head. I'm telling you, that's why I mentioned the Bible. Spend it building your company, employing people, running interviews. How many of you do this? You don't do it. Spend this building and see, you are not playing. Okay, even if that thing is nonsense, let it be something good you are doing at least. Is it not better you are spending time doing nonsense than you are spending time killing yourself? You know one thing I want you to see in this series? Satan never wants you to take charge of your mind. He wants you to be careless. You start, you'll be running it. So he throws depression. He brings it out. Throws rejection. Because my life is a mess. He brings it out. He throws hate. He wants to run your mind for you. But what I'm trying to tell you to do is consciously decide what will be in your mind part time. I get the point. The warfare is in your mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. What are they? To the pulling down of strong goals, casting down imaginations, and bringing every thought in obedience with Christ. So it's your side. That's warfare. That's the weapon. That's what we use our weapon to do. To cast down imaginations. Cast down imaginations. Bring every thought captivity to the obedience of Christ. So my thoughts, I cannot be careless. I won't just let anything just be flying through my mind. I will bring this one is not in obedience to Christ. I will not let you stay. Hallelujah. Most of the miracles we've seen today, we saw them in our head before they came. I'm not missing words. We saw them in our head. I had grown a short leg in my head so long before I grew it physically. I don't get the point. Because I meditate on it. When I stay on it for so long, see what is going to happen. I'll begin to see that it is possible. You get the point? That it's possible. That it's possible. In Isaiah 26 verse 3, he said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. I like that scripture. Whose heart is stayed on him. I like the word stayed. Stayed. Because he trusted in thee. So, peace is a portion of where your heart is. Depression is a portion of where your heart is. So, I meditate on your word. I put it in my heart. I won't just let anything take over my mind. I am deliberate about my mind. Deliberate. Why? It will determine the course of my life. So why would I be? Why would I take it lightly? How will I make light of it? You know, I was talking about marriage the other day. Every time you think about marriage, you are thinking, no man can match on my head. Do you see what you're doing? You are preparing and planning yourself for a bad marriage. A marriage where somebody will be trying to match on your head. Imagine a beautiful family. Where nobody is cursing anybody. Where nobody is insulting anybody. Imagine prayer time with your family and your children. Imagine it. You guys are praying. And then one of those Saturdays when nobody is going to work. At the time we can say, let's have a small Holy Ghost meeting. I say, Chi boy, give us a word. Are you getting the point? Give us a word. Imagine, these are pictures you create in your mind. They may look like play. You will see them. One day they will happen. And it will not be like deja vu. But it's not deja vu. You play them in your mind. You have seen them. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything, he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. He said, let your request be made known to God. Now he didn't stop there. Verse 7, he now said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. He didn't stop there. Verse 8, he now said, whatsoever things. I get the point. And so, peace is not automatic. We have them in Christ, but we must implant them in our heart. We must take hold and charge of our mind. And so, plant your realities in your mind. Righteousness is a reality. Go over them in your mind. Right? Healing is a reality. Meditate on them. You are sick. You've been sick for long. Have you ever created a picture in your mind of when you walked out from that sick bed? A season where you are no longer sick. Yeah. A pastor will tell me of how how when before he had a car, how he would create so much picture of his car. You know, Pastor Samuel Debi that I heard first that he painted this picture of his car in his mind to the point that he went, got a picture of the car, the same color he wanted, pasted it on his bed as his car. He said, even when he would look at it and say, ah, that's my car. Get a point? A pastor would think about this car so much before he had the car that he would be on top of bike and be saying, Father, thank you. I remember those days I used to enter bike. Get a point? There are things that you plan. You see, faith is not talk. It's how we live our lives. You get a point? Faith is not, it's not a topic. It's not a topic in church. It's a way of life. It's not what we jot in our notes. Is how we live our lives. So there is a warfare. There is something trying to dominate your mind. There is something, not your mind, trying to dominate your life. Satan wants to run your life. He wants to run your life. That's what, totally. And so you gain the victory or you lose by letting go of your mind. Playing with it. So for long, things have been taking your head. Things have been flying over and they've been staying. Few things you should have picked from this series. Many things. One of them is control what goes into your mind. Then control what stays. Are you getting the point? Control what goes in. That's why I began to talk about what you watch, what you see, what you're listening to, your experiences. But then I also noted that you cannot control all of them because there are things that have happened to you at childhood. Last week I was thinking about this. There are things that happened to you at your childhood. There are negative childhood experiences and they try to form you. You must break loose from them by letting go of your mind. Take those things, let go of your mind. Break loose from them. Hallelujah. Break loose from them. Let me close. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. I've quoted it. I want to read it to us. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to be pulling down strongholds. Now, before that, go to verse 3. I want to start from there. It's to remind you of what I said the first day. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Yes. Because the weapons we use are not carnal. You get the point? He now got to verse 5. He now said, casting down. So it's not a physical fight. Most of you think that spiritual warfare is about, it's more in the mind than it is in the physical. You see, the battle to get healed when you are sick is more in your mind. That's why I normally teach, if you are sick, there are confessions you take up. Those confessions is not just about repelling the devil. It's about keeping yourself in a state of mind. I don't get the point. Casting down your imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. There are things in your mind that want to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. You bring them down. You see how? I've shown you. Channel your imagination. Start talking. Fear is not permitted here. Lack is not permitted here. War is not permitted here. I take hold of my mind. I focus them on the right things. After you finish saying that, you focus it. You know why I like the Bible? When the Bible said, whose heart is stayed on God? When the Bible said, think of these things, it tells you that you can actually determine what to do with your mind. So nobody should say things like, I can't help but think about it. That's a lie. You are letting go of what you should control. The remote control is in your hand. I can't help but just remember that. Who said so? You can help. When Bible says think all these things, God can never ask you to do what you cannot do. Remember, I used to say that. He can never ask you to do what has not empowered you to do. So if you say think all these things, it means you can actually think on them. I don't get the point. I'll show one more scripture before we close. He said, every high thing that exalted upon the knowledge of God, I'm bringing into captivity every thought so I can hold my thought. Hey, Balatish, I can break every thought and hold it captive. Okay? I can dispel it. I can keep it. The ones I keep are the ones, all of them must obey Christ. You need to come to a point where you let the devil know, my mind is not a playground for rubbish. My mind is not your playground. It's not a place you can just come and be dumping every nonsense. My mind is not a playground. Hallelujah. My mind, I have sanity. Hallelujah. I have sanity. I have sanity. I have sanity. Shamalakeas. Let me show one last scripture that we saw when we were starting, that formed the basis for this teaching. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us what? Spirit of fear. But what? Power. Love. Remember that word, sound mind. Sophronismos. It means discipline of the mind. So God has given us the ability to guard our hearts. That's what this verse is saying. He has given us the ability to discipline our mind, to bring it under control. Some traditions render it as self-control. Like NIT will call it self-control. God has also given us the spirit of fear, but that of self-control. So you have the ability to mount guard over your mind. So Satan, this heart is not a playground for you. It's not. Your energy called this self-discipline. Self-discipline. And the beautiful thing about this is one area that if you win and you capture, every other area of your life follows suit. Are you getting me? Every other area comes in obedience. Because your mind will determine how far every other part of your body and your entire system we run. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? So we're going to take up some confessions today. My mind is not your playground, Satan. Hallelujah. It's not. And so, few things we will do. First, we will thank God. Because one of the ways you control your memory is thanksgiving. And you will be specific with this thanksgiving. Even if you are thanking God in tongues, make sure there are specific events. Are you getting me? That you are picking up. Specific events. Let me give you an example. If you are trusting God for provision, it's time to begin to thank God for the other provisions. How you never left me stranded. Not just what you say, remember. Peter said, I want to steer your pure minds by way of remembrance. If you're talking for healing, remember all the other healings. If you can't remember, start remembering the healings that you've watched on TV. I begin to thank God for the healings you've seen in church. That guy that was blind, that guy that was deaf, and Pastor laid hands and you healed him. Thank you, Father, for being such a healer. You are preparing your own mind. So we're going to thank God. We're going to thank Him for the healings He provided. We're going to thank Him for provision, for protection. Maybe there are fears now of accidents, of death, or whatever in your heart. Take up a thanksgiving this morning, this evening. Oh, we bless Your name. We thank You for protection. Ah, that day. I was thinking about it the other day. So throughout the year, you stand up, you come out with all the mad drivers on the road, and you return back safely every day. All the mad drivers on the road, you come out, you stand up, you step out, you return back, and nothing ever goes wrong. It indeed shows that we serve a good God. So lift your voice, stand your feet, let's bless Him. Let's bless Him. Let's honor, let's thank Him, and be specific with these things. Let me hear you. Lift your voice. Inamanela Pradeshina Lea da Baronia Lana Mashodiana. So make a lebra negola na machina sina dia.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.